And the second tailor tried to talk him out of it, but the first tailor said, no, I have to do it. It's Pidyon Shvuim. It's saving lives. And he took his money and he says to the Paretz, how much money again was it? The Paretz says, 300 rubles and not a penny less. 300 rubles. And all of a sudden, the tailor says to the Paretz, here is 300 rubles. Let the Jewish family out, please, from the dungeon right away. And the Paretz looks at all that money. And the Paretz's wife looking at all that money. They couldn't believe that these two tailors who never even, or this tailor, this one tailor at least, who never met the family at all, they're going to give so much money to help strangers. And Kinalach, the Paretz sent his guards or his officers or his schleppers, whoever it was, with the keys down the long stairs under the castle to the dungeon. And Kinalach, they brought up the family from the dungeon. I don't even want to say at lunchtime how they looked being down there. They have no baths and showers in a dungeon. They have no changes of clothes or doing laundry in a dungeon. They were living for months in this terrible place. And all of a sudden they found out that there's a Yid that just paid the money to let them free. They were so happy. They were crying and they were laughing at the same time. And they met the tailor now in Kinalach. Of course, he was so happy to have the schus to do this mitzvah and to help these people. The family went home. The manager went home to his family. And now the two tailors go home. The second tailor, who kept his money, gets home to his house. And his kiddies are so happy, and his wife is so happy, and the kiddies come running out, Tati, Tati, we didn't see you for years. And he says, Kinalach, it's so good to see you. Here are toys and prizes for each child, and presents. Oh, Tati, it's so wonderful. And he brings his wife also some nice things that he bought for her. And she says, oh, it's so wonderful to have you home. And he shows them the money that he made for all the years. And Kinalach, he goes out and he buys a brand new store. And he decided he doesn't want to be a tailor anymore, making clothes or wandering around, finding business. And he made a different kind of a store of ready-made clothes. And he brought beautiful clothes to the store. And people went over there and bought the beautiful things. And he bought more beautiful things. And he became very, very wealthy. And he was very successful. And everything was so wonderful. And the other tailor, the first tailor, got home. And his wife and his kiddies were so happy to see him. Tati, Tati, did you bring us something? Because we didn't see you for so many years. Well, not exactly. I didn't bring you anything, no. And, of course, he didn't bring anything for his wife. And then, what did he do for all those years? And where is all the money for the family? Not a penny. And I'm sure he explained to his wife what happened. And I'm sure she understood. But it was very, very difficult for them not to have any money to live. And for the years that he was away, they probably also had money to pay back for money that the family borrowed. And it was very difficult. Until Kinalach, as the time went on, the tailor became sad. Because his children didn't have enough shoes or enough clothes or enough money. And his wife didn't have what she needed. And the house didn't have what it needed. And it was so difficult. And as the time went on, he became depressed. That's even worse than sad. He was always going around very, very sad and depressed. And then Kinalach, he could not even do his work as a tailor because he was so sad and he couldn't even buy the things that he needed to be a tailor. And he went around sticking out his hand, begging. He became a beggar. And then people called him the Mara Shchaira beggar because he was always sad. A sad person is sometimes called a Mara Shchaira. Or they called him the sad tailor who became a beggar. And nobody knew what had happened. All they know is that he was away for a few years and he came back and all of a sudden he changed. He was now like a different person, begging and sad, and everybody felt so bad and sorry for him. And he goes around in torn clothes in the street, sticking it out his hand, and people give him a penny or a nickel or an onion or a pickle or something to eat. Kinalach, the story is not over. We're not ending it like this because really the story is kind of just beginning. There's more to the story. Shh. But of course it has to be quiet. It has to be very quiet for you to hear the story. What do you have?
Balloonies.
What do you have?
Balloonies.
You have balloonies for the best class?
Yeah.
Now, as it is, Kinalach, in life, sometimes there's ups, sometimes there's downs, but from a big down, there can be a very big up. Hashem lifts up those who are down, and sometimes He brings down those who are up. Shh. And let's see what happens now. One day, I will continue only when it's quiet. Only when it's quiet. Okay, one day, in the town of the Mara Shchaira beggar, he was in the street begging, waiting for a penny or a nickel. And coming down the street that day was a businessman. He was very nervous, and he was going down the street especially nervous that day because he's on his way to a certain Poretz to go to his castle, and this Poretz always gave him a big hard time and a trouble. This businessman was a businessman in flax. Flax is a kind of a plant that linen is made from this kind of material, and linen, as we know, linen is a very good material for tablecloths, beautiful tablecloths, or nice clothes, but of course you cannot mix it with wool or shatness. Now, this Jewish businessman used to go to the Paritzes in their castles, and he used to go to make a deal with them to pay them money for their land. And on their land would grow flax, and he would be able to be in charge of the land to get the flax. He would pay, of course, like rent to the poorest to be able to use the land, but he would be in charge of getting all the flax, and he would make money from that. Now, a part of the business was to get a good price for a good piece of land, and this poorest would always give him a hard time, asking for a lot of money and demanding that it be paid right away, all at once. And he wasn't nice, and he used to also make a lot of not nice comments about Yidden. And he always had such a difficult, hard time going to this Poretz. But the Poretz had excellent land to grow flax, and the Jewish businessman always made the best money from his land because he had the best flax. So he was very nervous that day. And as he's going in the street, all of a sudden he passes by the Mara Shchaira beggar. And the Mara Shchaira beggar has his hand out for a penny. or for a little money. And the businessman reaches in his pocket and he takes out a few pennies and he puts it into the hand of the Marashkara beggar. And he says to the beggar, "Listen, I gave you money, so what'll you give me?" And he was kind of joking, and he was kind of nervous, and he just kind of said that. He says, "What'll you give me? I gave you money." And the Marashkara beggar says, "Well, I'll give you a bracha." "Oh, a bracha from you? Of course." And he's laughing like it's a joke. "Okay, give me a bracha." And the beggar says, "I'll give you a bracha that you should have a lot of hatzlacha. You should have a good day." "Oh, yeah. Yeah. A bracha for a lot of hatzlacha and a good day. Oh, okay." And he just laughed like it was a big joke. And now Kinalach, the businessman, goes to the castle of the Paretz. And the first thing he always remembers when he goes up the road is the big barking dogs with their big teeth that come to the gate and starts barking at him. And he just couldn't stand that every time to have to hear those big dogs. And this time he goes to the gate and the dogs were not there barking. "Oh, Baruch Hashem, I don't have to listen to the big dogs and see their big teeth looking and their big eyes looking at me." Well, next he remembers the guard that's always by the gate and how mean he is. And every year he comes to make his deal with the flax, and the guard gives him a hard time also and says, "Oh, it's you again, you again." He always laughs at him. And now he goes and he sees the guard is there. Uh-oh, the guard always makes these not nice things, comments to me. And he goes to the guard, and the guard smiles. "Oh, hello there. It's nice to see you. We haven't seen you for a whole year. I think the Paretz is expecting you because he knows you always come around this time." And the businessman thinks, "That's funny. The guard is so nice." This never happened before. He smiled even. I never saw him smile. I never know he could smile even. Well, the next thing he remembers is the servant that always opens the door, always gives him a not nice look, and also says not nice things. And he knocks on the door, and the servant opens the door, also with a smile. "Oh, hello. Yes, the businessman who comes for the flax. I think the Paris is expecting you." He says, "This is very interesting. It's all smiles today. The guard smiles and the servant smiles." Now, the Paretz never smiled. He was always in a bad mood. Now, usually, the businessman remembers that as soon as he gets into the castle, after the servant lets him in, he always hears the Paretz screaming from his room. The Paretz is always screaming about something. And he goes into the Paretz's big fancy schmancy room, and the Paretz is sitting there with a big smile on his face. "It's nice to see you." And then, of course, the worst time was when the Paretz's wife would come out and start screaming. And the Paretz would sometimes scream at her, and they'd scream at each other, and then they'd start screaming at the Yid. And it was always so unpleasant. And this time, the Paretz's wife came out. "Oh, hello. It's so nice to see you." And she had a bowl of fruit. "Here's some fruit. I know you can't eat from our kitchen. You know, we don't eat kosher exactly. But we know that you could eat fruit. Have a seat." She says to sit down? The Paretz never even told him to sit down. And the Paretz's wife for sure never said to sit down. Now they're saying to sit down? Well, he took a piece of fruit. He made a bracha. And now it was time to do business. Now this was the worst, because the Paretz would want a big, high price, and then he would have to argue down the price, and the Paretz would get nervous and start getting upset and screaming. And this time it went in a completely different way. He got a fair price right away, and the Paretz was very nice about it. And Kinalach, the whole time, he felt that this was a completely different thing going on. And he says to himself, "It's like there's a bracha today." All of a sudden he remembered that sure enough he did get a bracha that day. Who gave him the bracha that day? Does anybody remember?
The beggar.
The beggar. The Marashchaira beggar had given him a bracha. He said, wait a minute, I did get a bracha. Could it be that the bracha of the tailor came true? That it was really a bracha? Or maybe it's just, you know, it just happened. He thinks to himself, maybe it just happened. And he finished his business and he was very happy and he went home. And a few days later, he had another important business trip. And this time, he decided he's going to go looking for the beggar, the tailor. And he's going to ask him again for a bracha. And he's going to see, how is it going to go today with his business? And he went through the streets and he found the tailor, the beggar. And he gave him a few pennies and maybe also a nickel. And he says, look, can you give me a bracha for today? And the tailor says, I give you a bracha, you should have a good day and a lot of hatzlacha, a successful good day. And the businessman answered, amen. And he went on his way. And sure enough, that day also, everything went with a big bracha. He made a big, good deal with a lot of money. And everything went well. And a few days later, the next week, he had another important trip. And he got another bracha from the beggar, the tailor. And that time also, it went with such a big bracha. Until after a few months, this businessman became a big millionaire. And he knew that it was in the brachas of the tailor, but he did not tell anybody. He did not tell anybody where he was getting all of these successful things happening to him from. He didn't say it was a bracha from a beggar. He didn't tell anybody anything special was going on. People just thought, you know, he's got a good luck. He's got a good mazel. Sometimes a person gets a certain mazel from Hashem. Then it was during the Yamim Tovim, and he had his family and friends over at the house. And they were drinking wine, and they were making l'chaim in a good mood, and they were singing. And he was in a very, very good mood, and all of a sudden he says to the people by the table, I have to tell you something that I never said before. It was a secret, but now I'm going to tell you the secret. Ooh, everybody gets very excited, a secret. Like it says, Kenalach, when the wine goes in, the secrets come out. The secrets are coming out. He says, everyone knows that over the past few months, I became a very, very rich man. My business is going so well. Well, it's not just by chance. And it's not just, of course, with Hashem's bracha, which of course it is, but I mean, there's a little bit more involved over there. It's not just what anybody might think it is, but there's something over here that's a secret, and I'm going to tell you. There's a certain beggar that walks the streets of Vilna, and everybody thinks, you know, he's just a big marashchaira and a shlamazel, but really, it's his bracha and his brachas that have made me to be successful and rich. People said, who is it? You remember the tailor? The tailor that used to be a tailor for farmer clothes, and he took off a few years ago, and he came back, and he started becoming a beggar. It's him. His brachas really work. Every time I went to him for a bracha, it worked. And the people got excited, Kinalach. And after Yom Tov, and when people could already carry money in their pockets, they went to the beggar, and they started giving him pennies and nickels, and sometimes onions and pickles. And sometimes they gave him bread, and they listened to every word that he said. And he gave them brachas, and their brachas came true. And more people found out about this beggar until two Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov once were going through Vilna, and all of a sudden they see a long line of people. What are these people waiting for? You know, sometimes there's a long line to Ben Shlulav and Esrik, or sometimes there's a long line because there's a tzaddik in town and he's in a house giving people brachas and they're waiting to go into the tzaddik. what is happening today? And they looked at the end of the line and they saw a beggar, and people are giving the beggar pennies, and he's giving them a bracha as a beggar in the street. What's going on? And the Talmid of the Baal Shem Tov asked the people in line, who is this man? And they said, it's a beggar whose brachas come true. He used to be a tailor, and now he's a beggar. Something happened to him, nobody knows. But all we know is that his brachas come true. Poor people become rich from him. Sick people get a refuah shleima from him. Women that didn't have a baby get a bracha for a baby from him. And all kinds of wonderful things are happening from this beggar. And Kinalach, the two Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov went to see the beggar, and they saw he looked like a simple person. And they started talking to him. And they saw that he didn't even know his brachas came true. He just, you know, he just thinks he's giving brachas to people, and he doesn't know what happens afterwards. He didn't know that his brachas come true. He's just happy that people are lined up giving him pennies. He's very happy about that. And the two Talmidim, when they came back to the Baal Shem Tov, they told him about what they saw. And the Baal Shem Tov told his two Talmidim, his two students, the next time you're in Vilna, please ask the beggar to come to me. I would like to meet him and speak to him. And sure enough, the next time the two Talmidim were in Vilna, or maybe they weren't even special, because the Baal Shem Tov asked them, the next time you're there, maybe they went right away. They went to the beggar, or maybe they had to wait in line because it was a long line, and it was their turn. And when it was their turn, they said to the beggar, we would like you to come with us to the Baal Shem Tov. And the beggar said, the Baal Shem Tov? He wants to see me? Why does he want to see me? Just a beggar in the street. Well, the two Talmidim said, you know, you're not just exactly the regular beggar in the street, you know. Don't you know that you give brachas? Well, you know, all the beggars in the street, or a lot of them, they give brachas. That's what a beggar does, you know, if he wants to be nice. He gives a bracha. Every Jew can give a bracha. Don't all the beggars in the street, if they're nice, give a bracha? And the Talmidim said, but you know, your brachas come true. Didn't you know that? I don't know what happens to my brachas. I just give a person a bracha because they give me a few pennies. I don't know if they come true. Well, they asked the beggar to come with them, and finally he came with them to the Baal Shem Tov. And the Baal Shem Tov is now talking to the beggar. And he wants to find out what makes this beggar so special that his brachas come true. And the Baal Shem Tov says, tell me about your life. Tell me about yourself. Well, a long time ago I was born, a little baby, and I had a mommy and a tati. And he tells all kinds of things. And finally he gets to the part where he was a tailor. And finally he gets to the part where he moved away with the other tailor and they were making farmer clothes. And finally he gets to the part where they were in the last part of their traveling and they went to the castle. And finally he gets to the part where they were about to leave with all their money. And finally he gets to the part where they found out that there was a Jewish family in the dungeon, and he gave his money that he was working for so many years to take the family out from the dungeon for Pidyon Shvuim. And the Baal Shem Tov says, that's it. That's it. Such a mysterious nefesh that you give away so much money that you worked for your own family to help another Yiddish family that you never even met. It's obvious as well, it's Pidyon Shvuim, it's mysterious nefesh. And this is what made that your brachas come true. But the Baal Shem Tov says, we cannot let you go on being a mara shchaira, to be always sad and depressed. It's not good. Stay here with me and I'm going to cure you of your mara shchaira. Now, kinalach, the Baal Shem Tov didn't have to use medicine or shots or operations or any things like that. He started teaching Torah to the beggar. And he started teaching especially the secrets of the Torah. And Torah makes a person happy, and especially the secrets of the Torah, they make a person very, very happy inside. The Mara Shchaira beggar, kinalach, was no longer a Mara Shchaira. He became very happy. He was no longer a beggar. He became a Talmud Chachem, and he became a great tzaddik, and he even wrote a sefer of Kabbalah, of secrets of the Torah, and that is the end, kinalach, of the story. Okay, let's hope it's a story about somebody else and not you. You boys wanted to hear a story about a bad kid. You got excited. Rebbe, tell us a story about a bad kid. Okay, so here's a story about a bad kid. It's a good story. A good story about a bad kid. And of course we know no yid is bad. And even a bad kid, we're going to learn something very good from this story about a bad kid. A good story about a bad kid who's really good and teaches us something good. Okay, there was a great tzaddik, Reb Naftali of Ropshitz. And he had a son who also became a great tzaddik, but this son was a little boy, Reb Eliezer of Dozikov. And this is when Eliezer was a little boy, and the Tati was with the little boy, and the little boy, Eliezer, did some very not good thing. He made some big trouble, and the father got very upset and, of course, started telling the little boy about what he did and getting very upset and, you know, getting very upset at his son. And the little boy started to cry, but he says, Tati, Tati, it's not my fault. It's the Yetzirah's fault. He made me do it. He talked me into doing it. The Yetzirah, it's his fault. Now the father was very smart, and he says, you know, son, you could learn a lesson from the Yetzirah how to be good. Don't blame him for being bad. From him you can learn to be good. How? He says, look, the Yetzirah, why does he talk a person into doing something not good? Because his job from Hashem, his shlichus from Hashem, is to try to get a person to make trouble. Of course, he doesn't want the person to listen to him, really, but he's doing Hashem's job, that his job is to try to talk a person into doing something wrong. And the Yetzirah is doing his job. So just like the Yetzirah does his job from Hashem, so you have to do your job from Hashem. You understand? The Yetzirah, what is he doing? He's doing his job. So from him, you have to learn out that you have to do your job. And the little boy, you see, is also very smart. He says, no, Tati, I can't learn that from the Yetzirah. Tati says, why? Because he says, the Yetzirah doesn't have a Yetzirah to try to get him not to do his job. In other words, I have a Yetzirah that tries to get me away from doing my job. And the Yetzirah is doing his job fine. But the Yetzirah does not have a Yetzirah to take him away from doing his job. I have a Yetzirah. The Yetzirah doesn't have a Yetzirah. So this is